Tahura ki Gulf Marine Park, ko te pātaka kai o Tikapa Moana, te Moana Nui Atoi, is 1.2 million hectares in size with more than 40 pest-free islands and 6 marine reserves. This seascape lies on the east coast of the Tāmaki Makaurau and Waikato regions, stretching down to the eastern coastline of the Coromandel Peninsula to Waihi. Kia ora, I'm Kiane Matatasipu, the host of Hauraki Gulf Kōrero, a podcast established by the Hauraki Gulf Forum. Here you will be introduced to kaitiaki of Te Moana Nui Atoi, Tikapa Moana, to discuss the state of the Gulf, and explore the many ways in which these groups and individuals are taking action to achieve a healthy, thriving marine environment. Kia ora and welcome to the final episode for Series 1 of Hauraki Gulf Kōrero. We made it this far. We've had some incredible people on the podcast over this first season. And today we have, well, I guess another incredible person who's the person behind the podcast. So while you may have heard my voice, this particular individual does incredible mahi for the Hauraki Gulf Forum and has been the driver behind ensuring Series 1 got off the ground, and I got to interview some really amazing people. So I just want to introduce you to Alex, tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
And could you please share with us a little bit about who you are and your role?
Ai, kia ora, Kiani. Ko Nick Rogers, tōku mātua. Ko Mary Maxwell Rogers, tōku whaia. Nō Kirikiri Roa Rawa. Ko Alex Rogers, tōku ingoa. Nō Tāmaki Makaurau Ahau. He kai whakahaere Hauraki Gulf Forum. Ko Brig, Governor Macquarie, tōku waka. Ko Nicole Rowan, tāku hoa wahine. Ko Al Rogers, tāku kōtiro. Ko Eden Rogers, tāku tama. I'm Alex. I'm the CEO of the Hauraki Gulf Forum, and I was born and raised in Tāmaki Makaurau in Auckland. But going back a little bit, mum and dad are from Hamilton, and then going back further, my great-great-grandfather, Reverend Richard Davis, arrived in 1824 on the Brig Macquarie, so that's my waka. And so as a whānau, we're just about to hit 200 years here in Aotearoa, which is pretty special. But yeah, I was born and raised on the shores of the Waitemata, on the Hauraki Gulf, but also spent time in Malaysia as a kid. And that was a really special eye-opening experience for a young Kiwi to do. And then came back from my high school and education here, and then joined Foreign Affairs out of university. So had the great privilege to represent New Zealand all around the world. But came home a couple of years ago and saw this opportunity to work on something that was very special to me, and so jumped at the chance to be the CEO of the forum.
So with your mahi, because you're not on the forum, you're not a board member or an iwi representative or a councillor, so what is it exactly that you do as CEO for the forum?
So the question I often get is, why was a diplomat appointed in this position? You know, I'm not a marine biologist. I don't have any particular expertise in the coastal or the marine environment. But the forum is essentially a political body. You can think of it as an advocate for the marine park, an advocate for the Gulf. And so I was brought on really to make sure that the relationships around that table were strong, and that the forum could then unite around a core vision for the Hauraki Gulf, which is one of the things I think I'm most proud of over the last couple of years, is that we are really clear about what we stand for, that our mana whenua members, our political members, are united in that vision of a healthy, thriving Gulf with its full Māori, its life force returned to it. And so a lot of the job that I do is really figuring out the politics of the Gulf and trying to find a way forward where people with different backgrounds can come together, put aside some of those differences, and really focus on that core kaupapa about how we together take decisions to make the Gulf healthier and to return it to its former abundance. I mean, it was once and can be again one of the world's great ecosystems. It is right up there with any other special place on earth. And so my role is to help that direction, but also then to work with everybody who's interested in the golf, which is a lot of people. And that's where my role gets really hard, is there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people and groups and iwi hapu organisations with an interest in Te Kapa Moana, Te Moana Nui o Toi. And so it's a great challenge in my role, is to find a way to work with so many different people, but also to bring them together around those goals as well, so we're all pushing in the same direction.
Essentially, how bad is it right now?
So the Gulf at the moment is suffering. It's suffering from all sides. In the marine environment, it's suffering from too much extraction. So that's about the amount of fish and kaimoana we're taking out of it, but not just the number, but actually how we're doing that as well, and the methods that we're using and the damage some of those methods are causing to the environment. And then on the land, it's a story of how much pressure we're putting on it. So the plastic that's running out into the marine environment, the sediment that's coating the seafloor, the pollution and the nutrients that are running off in our waterways. And it's a system that is under great pressure from all sides.
When I think back to the career that you had before this, and when I listen to you talk now, just off the cuff about all of these different things that are happening to this marine environment, I can only imagine how much you personally have learnt over your time with the forum. And I'm really interested to know, what are some of those key learnings for you, who came into it quite fresh, who came from a completely different background, and as you said, not a science background or an iwi background, but someone who can now essentially speak on a number of these issues to an extent. What have been some of those key learnings in your time so far? How many years has it been?
It's been just over two and a half years now. And I have to be honest, when I came into the role, I'd never even heard of the Hauraki Golf Forum. And I think for a lot of people out there, they A, don't know there's a Hauraki Golf Forum, and B, don't know that the Hauraki Golf is actually a formal legislated marine park. And so that is one of the, I guess, the great challenges or learnings as part of the role, has been the amount of education required to enable people to understand just what we have out there in the Gulf. But really, I think the key challenge in this role, like in many roles, is the relationships between people. When I came into the role, there were a lot of really strained relationships around the Gulf, not just around the forum table, but more broadly. People were talking past each other. People were very used to sitting in their own corner and defending their own patch and thinking about the Gulf or the marine park in terms of their own interests only. And so there wasn't that greater consideration of a common shared goal for the Gulf. And that's where I think the forum's vision around abundance has been really powerful. You can't find anyone that doesn't like the idea of a more abundant, thriving, bountiful place out there on the shores of Tāmaki, Makaurau and Waikato. And once you start talking about what unites you and what you want to see together, you can start to put aside some of those differences. And so I think that's been one of the big learnings in this role, has been how powerful a uniting vision can be for moving people away from their corners and together towards a better future for the Gulf. The other thing that I've learnt, Kiani, in this role has just been how many amazing people there are doing this day in, day out. And my former deputy chair, Moana Tamari Kipohe, who along with her sister Donna has been on an earlier episode, says, which I really think is relevant here, is there's so many people who are willing to get their butts wet. And there are people out there doing amazing things for the health of the Gulf every day. And often you'll find too that those on it or in it love it the most. And so it's been wonderful working with so many awesome people as part of this role. And that gives me great hope for the future, is that there are so many committed people. And that's growing, not quite exponentially, but it's growing really fast at the moment. The amount of philanthropic money coming into the Gulf, the central government action that was announced recently, the number of initiatives being led by iwi and hapu around the Gulf, it's just building in a really positive direction.
When we look at all of these different things that are happening across the landscape of Tikapa Moana to Te Moana Nui Atoi, because different rohe, different iwi, different names, and you talk about working together collaboratively and the understanding that if you're going to do something in the Waikato, that's going to affect something on Aotea. Or if you do something on the mainland, that's going to affect something on one of the motu. And we are slowly but surely seeing so many people understand that in coming together to work together. I'm interested to know, because we have so many initiatives happening across this rohe moana, what have been some of the highlights or some of the really effective ones that you've come across? And if you don't mention others, that's not to say they're not good. We're just talking about the few we can fit into this podcast.
I sort of start with the kids, the tamariki, and there are incredible people who are working in schools in Kura day in, day out, making sure that that next generation has perhaps some of the knowledge, the matauranga that we didn't have when we were younger. And so I now often go along to schools as well as part of this, and just to see the incredible level, like the very sophisticated understanding of our next generation, of the issues that are facing the moana, is really heartwarming and important. And they're not just knowledgeable, they're ambitious, which is awesome. They are really ambitious. They will not take this degraded environment that we are looking like we will pass on to them. They want a heck of a lot better and are demanding that. And so when I first think of the amazing things or the success stories that are happening out there, I do think of those like young ocean explorers, like experiencing marine reserves, like Blake New Zealand and New Zealand Geographic, who are going into schools day in, day out, working with our tamariki and passing on all that knowledge about the marine environment so that they can then themselves be the most fantastic kaitiaki when they grow up. So the education for me is a massive one. A second one that that really excites me, but we've got a long way to go, is restoring the seabed. So one of the most tragic stories of Tikapa Moana is the great destruction that we have caused to the seafloor. Mm. We used to have 1,000 square kilometres of shellfish beds, mainly green-lipped mussels, kutai, in the Gulf, and we dredged them all out, basically all of them, and collapsed that entirely. And not only did we remove the mussels themselves, which were amazing at filtering the water, but we removed that base of the habitat for all the small fish and everything that grows from that. And so there's now this nascent but growing effort to restore those shellfish beds, and that is being done, as most of the good initiatives are, in partnership between mana whenua and communities. So we're looking forward, and I'm not sure when this episode will come out, but in the coming days from when we're recording it now, there is going to be a drop of shell and then of live mussels in Ōkahu Bay in partnership with Ngāti Whātua and Revive Our Gulf and the Nature Conservancy. Forthcoming drops also in the Mahurangi Harbour with Ngāti Manuhiri, again with those same partners. And so we, at the forum level, set this big, audacious, almost ridiculous goal of restoring those 1,000 square kilometres of shellfish beds and reefs, but we are starting to make real progress on it, and it's scaling up and it's looking really positive for the future. So that's another success story that I see out there.
You know, you talk about ridiculous goals, but there will be a point where you wondered why it was so ridiculous because it will just have been achieved and you'll go on to the next extremely ridiculous goal. And when that's achieved, it will be amazing because we'll start to see real transformational change. You were talking a little bit about dredging and restoration. And actually, when we look at the Hauraki Gulf and we look at that broad landscape, there are competing interests. And it must be quite tricky when there are competing interests because we have development that's happening on the land, which, you know, building commercial industry, housing, and that runoff is affecting the moana. And then we have shipping and ports and those types of things that are going on. And then, of course, we have groups who are wanting to restore and restore mussel beds, restore the Māori, restore, you know, so many different environmental goals to achieve in this space. Often they're countering. Often they're working against each other. And I am assuming that when you're also sitting around a board table or when you're sitting around decision-making tables, those competing interests come into play as well as part of the discussion. Where do you move to next? Who gets priority? How do you make, you know, how do you ensure this business still continues but doesn't affect this particular environmental goal? How hard is it to try and ensure all of these different interests are heard? Because they may not necessarily all be taken into account, but they will all be heard. How hard is that?
Yeah, it's really hard to ensure that everyone's interests are heard because there are so many, as you've said, so many competing interests in the Gulf. One of the small things that we do as a forum, and it's in the name, is that we are that meeting place. And so at the start of every one of our hui, we basically issue an open invitation to anybody that wants to come along and bring their kōrero, bring their story, bring their point of view to the table about the issues facing the marine park. And we get a great diversity of groups coming to that, talking about things in their local area, talking about concerns they have with the marine park. And that allows the board that I work for to be able to consider all those different points of opinion and take them into account. But you've actually also hit on something more fundamental, which is how do we weight the values that we have for the marine park? And that's something that the forum has struggled with over time, is how do you weight extraction with conservation? How do you weight the intrinsic values of mana whenua with those of more recent arrivals? How do you weight those competing views and interests in the marine park? And one of the best initiatives that has cut across that is what's called the Sea Change Taitumu Taipari Marine Spatial Plan, which is where a whole group of individuals across most of those groups that we've been talking about, so representatives from mana whenua, from commercial fishing, recreational fishing, from environmentalists, from other communities around the Gulf, came together and they said, enough is enough of the degradation and enough is enough of not being sure which values or what priorities are going to win out. And they worked really hard to effectively create a spatial plan or a zoning plan for the marine park. That process started 10 years ago, roughly, and we are just now seeing it move into high gear because the government has recently announced its proposal as a response to that marine spatial plan from that group of incredible New Zealanders who came together to make real change. And so finally, we do have a view right from the bottom where it started to the top now of what should be those priorities going forward. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that is it's a hugely relieving and also exciting moment that we have moved past the point now of competition between those values to saying, okay, we actually have now a firm vision of where we need to conserve, but of still of where we can, you know, we can fish and extract from. And just having that clarity is very, very important for making progress towards a healthier Gulf.
Having the clarity on the vision is amazing and is the best way for everybody to move forward, because that's we need to stop being in this kind of holding pattern and be moving in some direction. And forward and upwards is a great direction to be moving in. I do realise, though, that there are people who, as you said, you didn't know about the Hauraki Gulf Forum until you started in the role. And so there are still a number of people who don't quite understand the role of the forum. So you hear the different policies that have come into place. You might hear of different groups that are doing different things out on the moana. You might hear of iwi initiatives that the forum supports, but you also hear of a number of groups saying, why are the forum not stopping this? Why are the forum not speaking up on this? Or why are they saying these things and being involved in this particular issue? I think it would be great, in a way that you can, to clearly explain the role of the forum in the wider political landscape and what role the forum has when it comes to specific issues on the moana. Because I think that's where a lot of people get a bit confused as to who has weight, not just in the values, but who has weight in decision making. And is it the forum or not?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the most topical current example I can think of is what's happening at Putiki Bay or Kennedy Point on Waiheke Island. And for those listening that don't know, there's a marina that has been consented to be developed there, but there is also a strong local occupation and opposition to that development. And so we've, as a representative of the forum, gone over and met with both sides. And of course, the natural instinct of those that don't want to see the marina developed is to ask the forum to intervene. And so this is not the only example where we get asked to intervene, but we're actually prevented. Prevented by our act from intervening in these situations. That's the way that the forum was set up. So the most that we can do is communicate with those that are responsible under the law. So for Putiki Bay, it's Auckland Council, which is the regulator of the decision around a marina, and it's the Department of Conservation, Te Papa Atawhai, when it comes to the protection of the korora and the application of the Wildlife Act. So early on, we wrote to both those parties to raise our concerns. But then we have to kind of leave it at that. And that's really frustrating for members of the community. And I completely understand and appreciate the frustration there. And we're still today getting asked to do more to intervene. But in that case, we go to the limit of what we can do. We keep those concerns raised with the authorities that have the mandate to deal with them. But then we have to step back from going further than that, because that's not our role. And so that's often, as I said, a source of real concern and frustration, legitimate frustration from people in the community about areas where they would expect that a Hauraki Gulf Forum with representatives of Crown and Council would be able to otherwise intervene or perhaps even overturn those sorts of decisions. But that's not our place under our Act. I mean, another example at the moment is sand extraction up at Pākeri. Again, that's an example where members of that community have called on the forum to intervene. And what we've done is we've gone as far as we can, which is to provide advice to that process on the really precious nature of that sand up there. But again, we can't go further than that. So you're right. It's that almost being hamstrung by our own act is a really frustrating part of my role. I'm sure members of the forum also find it frustrating. But the way, the best way to look at the forum is as an advocate for the marine park. So it's the forum's role really to set the vision, which we have in terms of calling for 30% protection, the restoration of shellfish beds, the planting of waterways, and the ending of marine dumping. And then it's up to the forum also to work with and influence its own members. So a big part of the forum's role and my role is getting a resolution through the forum and then turning around and putting it back on our own members and saying, what are you now going to do to contribute to achieving that goal? So when it comes to protection, we're primarily talking to the Minister of Oceans and Fisheries and the Ministry of Primary Industries. And then when it comes to something like the planting of waterways, that's both central government, local government, and so many great community organisations that are working out there. So we do our very best to do that role, to be that advocate, and to be noisy when we need to be, but there are limits to what the forum can do.
And I'm going to ask you a challenging question, and you may actually not be able to answer it, and that's okay. I just also hear, and so am voicing those opinions, of if the Forums Act prevents them from doing what some people might assume or believe is quite meaningful, actionable work, then how does that act get changed? Or how can the situation be changed to enable the forum to have more power? Because if it can't, if it has visions to achieve these things, but it can't action those things, then what's the point?
Really good question, and I'm happy to answer it. Because we've already agreed as a forum that we want to do just that. So at our last meeting in May 2021, the forum did agree that it wanted to update and strengthen the Marine Park Act. And that's been something that has been obvious to me since I started in the role, that that's the place we need to get to. But first we needed to come together, settle on the vision for the Marine Park, and then look at, okay, now how are we going to achieve it? And you're right, part of the achievement of that to me has to be an upgrade and strengthening of the Marine Park so that, for example, in consenting processes, the Marine Park is a significant consideration in those processes, more than just something that you have to give effect to. And so what we need to do effectively is change the law. We need to first have a discussion, and we're going to have this in the coming weeks at the forum, about where we think we can land on that upgrade. And then we need to go away and draft a bill, basically, in terms of what that would look like for upgrading the Marine Park Act. But we are helped at the moment by a couple of other things, because the resource management reforms are going through this current government. In fact, you'd say they are probably the number one legislative reform of this government. And they will, those reforms will force an update to our Act, because part one of our Act connects the Marine Park and the Resource Management Act. So part of our Act's going to be updated anyway in the next little while. The other thing going for us at the moment is there is just so much attention now on the health of the Gulf and the plight of the Gulf. And so we also have really fantastic ministers in place at the moment, in David Parker and Kitty Allen and Willie Jackson, who are our three ministers. And we can see real ambition on their part, on our part, and on the part of the community to see much stronger protections for the Hauraki Gulf. And so a big part of that is going to be upgrading and strengthening the Marine Park Act, and that is something we're committed to doing.
Thinking about the example of the Hauraki Gulf Forum in the broader Aotearoa context and how it is an amazing group, collective, of iwi and crown coming together, focused on this Moana landscape, would you be as bold to say this is a good example that others might be able to adopt in other parts of the country. Because when I look at, say, for instance, the Manukau Harbour, just on the other side, there's no Manukau Harbour Forum in the same sense. Mm. There's no established body of mana whenua and council who have a focus, a clear focus, and even ambitions for the Manukau Harbour. Would you... Yeah, well, I mean, what do you think? Is it good enough to go be replicated elsewhere?
You might be being a bit too kind to the forum. The forum has certainly come a long way, particularly in recent times. Our shift to a co-governance leadership model has been absolutely fantastic, both in terms of dynamic and substance. And I now often get approached by other organisations right around Aotearoa wanting to know about that shift that we made to the co-governance leadership model, how it's working, have there been any issues, etc. So I'm in terms of how we now run ourselves, I think we're doing a really good job and potentially are a model around the country. But there are still systemic inequities in the way that the forum is set up. We have a co-governance leadership model, but we don't have co-governance in the broader sense. If you look at the membership of the forum, the majority of the members are from local government, and Mana Whenua and the Crown are both in a minority position around the forum table. It's also quite a lot of people. 21 people around any board table is quite a lot, and that makes it hard to be nimble when you're at that size. But in terms of a body that is working really effectively with the Crown, collaborating, I hope listeners will agree, collaborating well across its area and communicating really clearly as to what it wants and is hoping to achieve, I think in that sense the forum is a really good model. And it's important that we have these local models in New Zealand that can be a bit the eyes and the ears of Wellington in places they're not otherwise. When it comes to the Manukau, and we're only a stone's throw away from it here at Kiani's Whare, one thing that we've been really conscious of on the Hauraki Golf Forum has always been that our success should not come at the expense of other places. Mm. And so I actually have in the past collaborated with a small Manukau Harbour Forum, which does exist within Auckland Council, but it's not of the legislated kind like the Hauraki Golf Forum, and with the Tāmaki Estuary Forum, which is another initiative particular to the Tāmaki Estuary, and talked with other forums or other harbour type forums around the country to see if we can share best practice and swap ideas and so on. But I do think that the more New Zealand matures, the more local decision making we will see, and that almost that confidence to devolve authority, whether it's to iwi hapu or to groups like the forum. And so I hope that we're playing our small part to set a really good precedent in that regard. But are we a perfect organisation? No, certainly not. And it's not just in terms of how we're composed, but it's, as you said before, it's really the lack of teeth that we have at the moment to help implement our vision. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I'm looking at how people might be able to engage with the forum or engage with things that are happening on Te Kapa Moana, Te Moana no Yotoi, find out more information, any of those sorts of comms and resources, I think about the fact that you have a website, you have this podcast currently, there is an annual seminar that happens. Can you just share a little bit about those things and how others who may not have previously engaged with them might be able to start engaging and finding more information and ways that they might be able to get involved?
Aye, for sure. Thanks so much for the question. That's been a huge focus of my role, has been making sure that we're communicating really well in a way that's really accessible to people. And one of my favourite pieces of feedback was from a nine-year-old who had read our entire State of the Golf report, which, Keanu's laughing, is a big document. It's not a short document. And
it's a huge document. And not even I've read an entire State of the Golf report.
I have, because I had to. But to make content that really communicates to everybody and not just to, as I say, those who have particular scientific or, you know, other expertise in the marine environment. And so, yes, please, if you would like, follow us on Facebook. We've got the Hauraki Golf Forum Facebook page where all our sort of key updates go. Our website is the Golf Journal, www.golfjournal.org.nz, where you can find the State of the Golf reports, all our posters, beautiful posters going back, if you want to share those with your whānau. And then we are always an open and welcoming place to come. If you would actually like to come and sit in on our hui, you are very, very welcome to do that. And we publish those in advance. The details are on our website and on our Facebook page. Our agendas are public. So everything about, everything that we do is public, hopefully easy to digest, get your head around. And if you're interested and engaged, we would love to have you, you know, be part of our corridor at our meetings.
I want to go back to the posters because you mentioned those and they are incredible. They are downloadable and printable, and if you have been lucky enough to receive one of them in the past, you may still have them. But I want to talk about how much of a great resource they are for young people. And one that immediately springs to mind is a very recent one, which names different sea life. And it has their Māori name and it has their English name. And as a mama, it's an incredible resource to just have to teach your children about different things that are happening in and around the moana. And I think when we look at the ambitions in achieving a thriving, well moana, we need to be connected to the moana. And so those posters are one way of connecting our children, our tamariki, to those things, because if they know what a snapper is and they know that it's also known as a tamude, and then they go into the ocean and they potentially see one, all of these things connect and make a difference. And so I do encourage people that if you haven't yet seen those posters, to go to the website and have a look and grab a copy and go through them with your tamariki, because they are quite beautiful, incredibly well presented pieces of art, because really they are incredible pieces of art, but very educational, and I think they're just fabulous. Let's have a chat about the future, because I'm not just interested in the future ambitions, the 30% and the, you know, all of those things, but I'm actually interested in where the Hauraki Golf Forum is moving to. So we've achieved a co-governance model. And where to next? How much further can you push the forum moving forward? And what is that ultimate goal? Because I'm assuming that potentially the ultimate goal could be that the forum no longer exists because it wouldn't need to. Mm. But that's my goal. What's yours?
Yeah, I'll start the answer to that question by looking at where we are now. And when we set that vision for 30%, marine protection, when we set the vision around shellfish restoration, when we set the vision around riparian planting, we also really carefully set some small goals within that to achieve by the end of 2022. And we've just gone back and looked into what progress we're making against those. And we're actually on track for all of our goals against those in terms of achieving 5% by 2022 marine protection, 3 100-ton shellfish drops by end 2022, 100 kilometres of new planting by end 2022. So even in our current form, we're actually knocking off our targets against our vision. So even though we are still kind of rendered quite ineffective in our own powers at the moment in terms of real momentous change, we are nevertheless seeing great progress against our vision. So that's really, really cool. And it gives me hope that even though we've still got a lot of work to do to make things better. We're actually achieving quite a lot at the moment. But when it comes to the future, you're right, Keani. I think the ultimate vision would be that there's no need for something like the forum whatsoever, because our kaupapa, in terms of restoring and protecting the marine park, is everybody's kaupapa. And it's interwoven in government policy and local council regulations and processes, and in everything that everybody does, be they in the private sector or in community groups or environmental groups or so on. And so maybe one day, I don't know, 50 years, best guess, there may be no need for the forum. But where I think we probably go before that is at some stage there will be the Waitemata Harbour settlement. And I think that, and this is going now back to episode one of the podcast and Dan Hikaroa's korero, is that there is potential there for one day for the Gulf to have its own legal personality, and possibly also at that time an authority which looks after it in the same way that you have the Waikato River Authority. And so I can see a future there. Maybe that's 10 years away, maybe a little bit longer, where that harbour settlement completely replaces the forum with something new. But we're not satisfied with waiting for that. And so that's what our conversation over the next few months is going to be all about, is about how can we upgrade ourselves? Say we're version one now. How can we be version two, which has more teeth, more powers, maybe a slightly different composition? How can we upgrade ourselves to that before eventually the version three, what comes through the harbour settlement, takes its place over the longer term? And so we've got a difficult set of discussions ahead about that. Not everybody around the table will agree with every part of the way forward. But as always, we'll try and find that maximum consensus around there in terms of that upgrade. And then it's about working with central government to make that legislative change, because everything we do at the moment is set in stone in law, and so we can only upgrade once the law itself is upgraded.
Through this podcast series, or through season one, we have spoken to a number of really incredible people who have all shared their hopes for the future of the Hauraki Gulf, Te Kapa Moana, Te Moana Nui o Toi. And every single one of them has mentioned a thriving marine environment, has mentioned the restoration of Māori, have talked about the ability for their tamariki and mokopuna to be able to get kai moana from the harbour, to not have kinabarans take over, to see whales back in this space, to, you know, all of these really incredible goals that we once had and once saw. And everybody who I've spoken to wants to see that happen. And I guess my question for you is, what do you want to see that's different to that? What can you add in your vision that might be different to those things? Because you're the last one, you get the hardest.
I think, like all the others, I agree on that big goal of the abundant, thriving Hauraki Gulf. But for me, it's the connectedness that I really hope for, the connectedness of people, not just those in Tāmaki and Waikato, but all around New Zealand, to the special, unique, beautiful taonga that is Te Kapa Moana, Te Moana Nui o Toi. And so it's hard. It's still one of the great challenges we have, is that the moana is like a mirror. You look at it and it shimmers and sparkles and you don't see what's happening beneath. And so one of my great hopes for the future is that all of us have the ability to see what's underneath. And I'm seeing some really cool tech coming through now in terms of virtual reality and underwater photography and videography that is for the first time really giving us that as if you were under the water experience of what the moana looks like. And my hope is that we will all have that appreciation, and not just of the Hauraki Gulf, of the amazing, you know, the realm of New Zealand is 90% moana. We are 90% moana, 10% whenua. And so my hope is that the Hauraki Gulf can help lead the way towards a future where all New Zealanders understand just how precious it is, just how under threat it is from many places, and just how important our role is as protectors, as kaitiaki, of this incredible part of the earth that we're so lucky to live in and work in and be part of. And so if there's anything that goes beyond what those others, much more learned podcast interviewees have said, it's that it's about that real sense of understanding. Because to be honest, when I grew up, right, I grew up in Milford, which is a little seaside part of the North Shore of Auckland, and I would go down often to swim at the beach, or Dad had a runabout boat, we'd go out fishing in the Motuihe Channel, but I never in all my childhood understood what the issues were under the water. I just did not understand, and I was never given that chance to understand the complexity and the importance of what's happening under the water. And so That is my great hope, is that all tamariki from now on, this generation and the generations to follow, will grow up with that innate understanding of just how precious and special and worthy of our attention that our moana is in New Zealand.
You know, when you boil it right down to its core, we can only live if our environment lives. And if our moana is unhealthy, then we are unhealthy. And it's an Indigenous whakaaro, an Indigenous way of thinking that is quite common in our everyday kōrero, that we are the ocean, we are the land, we are the mountains, and they are us. And so if they are sick, if they are polluted, if they are all of these things, so are we. And it's reminding us of that connection and our responsibility that we have to our taiao to ensure that they are well and thriving and full of life and abundant, because then so will we be. I want to just mahi to you, Alex, because the series one of the Hauraki Gulf Corridor happened because of you. And the people who were chosen to share their kōrero were chosen by you. And they have all been absolutely incredible people to interview. So many different topics that they covered, and all of them have got such a passion for protecting, for restoring, for just being absolutely amazing kaitiaki in and around the Hauraki Gulf. And it opens up all of our eyes to see that all of these little pockets of groups and pockets of people are working really hard. And some of us may not be aware of that and may not see that in our everyday lives, but to remember that there are people working hard, and we need to have more people working hard and supporting them, and how can we support them. And I think back over these past episodes of series one, and I can only imagine how much better off we all will be when all of those people's visions are achieved. You know, when they're all achieved. And that's only this two handfuls of people on this podcast, not to mention the hundreds of others who are working every day for the moana. And so I want to mahi to you and say thank you for helping me to meet them and help you share their stories. And for the mahi that you have done on the forum, because it has been incredible, Mahi. So many people sing your praises. And and I think you've been doing an incredible job, and I cannot wait to see what more you're able to achieve and influence in your role as a past diplomat for Te Kapa Moana and Te Moana Nui o Toi. So, tēnei te mihi ki a koe. Thank you.
Oh, kia ora, Kiani, and thank you. That's really, really kind. I just wanted to thank you as well, because this doesn't happen without an incredible interviewer who's been able to connect with so many different people from around the motu and help bring out those incredible stories. And I've had such great feedback from the public in terms of the episodes that have gone out to date. And they, you know, they stick with me, the dignity of someone like Matua Bobby and his kōrero, the absolute passion and drive for a better future of someone like Lea Namane and her kōrero, and the sheer excitement that I got from listening to Dan Hikaroa and his vision for the future of Aotearoa. And so I just wanted to really thank you on behalf of the forum, the mahi that you have put into this podcast as well. And then just a quick thank you to four very special people for me, and those are my past chairs and current chairs, John Mewson and Moana Tamariki Pohe, who were my previous chair and deputy, and my current co-chairs, Pippa Coombe and Nicola McDonald. And I guess as in my role as the executive officer, those are the people I work closest with. And they've all been towers of strength and are incredible people in their own right. And so I'm very, very grateful to everybody on the forum table and to all those hundreds and hundreds of people that I've got the real privilege and opportunity to get to meet and know and work with over the last little while. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Don't forget, you can follow the Hauraki Golf Forum on Facebook. You can go to golfjournal.org.nz. You can listen to this podcast both on the website, but you can also listen to it on Spotify and Anchor and Apple Podcasts and all of the other amazing podcast channels. You can share it around to all of your friends. If you are interested in a season two, maybe you should let Alex know. And if you are interested in being part of season two, then do let Alex know, because it'd be really great to start building a list of the incredible people that are doing incredible mahi in and around Te Kapa Moana, Te Moana Nui o Toi, the Hauraki Golf. Tēnā koutou katoa.